always had my heart, but he didn't have my mind, right? And I finally caught up with my mind what he was already doing with me in my heart. Like I mentally caught up with the fact that God really loved me, and that he was always with me. He always wanted to be with me. And I'm only now becoming aware consciously of the love of God. And I feel like we all want, God is trying to wake us all up to that moment. This moment when we recognize that we're not abandoned, that we're not rejected, that God, no matter how far we've gone, God has not forsaken us, that he loves us. And this is the message that God has called us to preach. This is why it's called good news. Amen. There's no bad news in God. It's nothing but good news. And so, how many people are perfect in here? All right, just making sure I'm in the right place. There's no perfect people allowed in here. No perfect people are allowed. Come on, we all make mistakes, and I just want to celebrate Whitney one more time. Some amazing courage,
yes,
to testify to us, and our amazing trust. And I thank you for trusting us to be able to share this story. And I don't know what you are going through, what anybody else in here is going through. But I really feel like Whitney's testimony just gave you permission to get free.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That her testimony isn't just for her. You know, anything you go through in life is never for you.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, it's for me.
Thank you. Your testimony is not for you. It's for the people God is assigning you to. And you have a story to share. And while God is writing the story of Whitney's life, she's brilliantly pursuing God, chasing after God. And the Bible says that the just falls 7 times and gets back up. And that's what the righteousness of God do. We fall and we get back up. We're not saying we're better than you. We're not saying we got it all together. What we're saying is we're righteous in Christ. We are justified by him. And nothing else that we do is ever going to separate us from the love of God.
Yes.
Come on. And that's what people need to know. Amen. And so while we hold this faith and we preach this message, my desire, my passion here hungry for God is to lead people to the God who is good. The God who is merciful. Amen. The God who loves us unconditionally. And so what we're going to do is we're getting ready to finish up our series called The Exchange Place. We've been spending the last 3-4 weeks talking about the power of our prayers. And we call prayer the exchange place because that is really what's supposed to happen in our time of prayer. That when we come to God, we're not just speaking to him, but we are also positioning ourselves to receive from him as he speaks back to us. Amen. When we go into prayer, we are receiving from God. We are entering into his presence. And how many people know God is always present with us? The Bible says that he is omnipresent. He is ever present. So God is always present. So when you pray, you're not speaking to a God who's so far that he can't hear you. He's already here. So in reality, when you're praying, you are coming into God's presence. While God is already present with you, your prayers take you into his presence. You're turning your heart towards him, and the minute you do that, the Bible shows us that God meets us where we are, and he rewards us, the Bible says. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6 as we close off this last message on this series. We cannot exhaust the message of prayer. This is essential if you're going to grow in God. And for me personally, since I got married and since I had Pan, she's now 1 and change. And since I had Pan, I couldn't spend as much time in prayer as I would like to. Because anytime I thought I think I'll get some time to myself, here comes Pan. Running to jump on my back or knock something over the table. And I have to go pick up. And so, it was very hard for me to get a time to pray, and I was like finally feeling, starting to complain to God. I said, God, you know, can't you make pain go to sleep or something when I want to pray? How many people have been here trying to find time? God, and you can't. So I said, God, I know you want me to pray. And for you, it may not be a baby, but we have so many distractions today. We are connected in on our hips, on our fingertips, our phones, our iPads, whatever it is. We have so many distractions around us. Facebook, Twitter, everything is going on. Our, you know, favorite TV shows, Scandal and all that stuff. Every time we want to pray, it's like, yes, at that time, something else comes up. And I've been there, and I already know. And while I was just thinking about that, I was like, God, you know, back in the 50s and 40s, it was a lot easier to spend time with God. It wasn't that many distractions. And then the Lord just responded back to me, and he said, but you always make time for the things you want to do. I said, you're right. Anytime you want to make time, you make it, don't you? You still want to do what you want to do. You find time to do it. But the Lord said this, you're still inexcusable or wretched. He didn't say that. He said, you're inexcusable. You've got to make time. And the only way that you're going to grow in God is by spending time with him. There's nothing that can substitute that. Now, I'm going to give you guys a few secrets to prayer. Not even to prayer, but the secrets that lie, that are waiting for you in prayer. Now, I said Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at that, 6 verse 5. This is where we started off. You can pull up any version. Verse 5, and when you pray, somebody say when.
When.
Because somebody next to you say, when you pray.
When you pray.
You should not be like the hypocrites.
You should
not pray. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men.
How true.
Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, look at that same person say, but when you pray,
when you pray,
go into your room.
Yes.
And when you have shut your door,
yes,
pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
Right. How true.
Hallelujah. So let's go back to verse 5, right? Now, I mentioned before, Jesus makes the impression on us that it's not an option of if you're going to pray. It's when you pray, which means that every one of us are called to pray and to spend time with God. We're all called to do this, all right? And prayer is not also something that you wait until you get into a crisis to do. Don't wait until the going gets tough, the tough gets going, to try to find time to pray, because I realize that when things start going wrong, I don't feel like praying at that time. And it's harder to pray. So prayer should be something that is not an event, but it's a lifestyle, and it's something that we practice every day. It's a habit that we must build if we're going to get serious about growing in our relationship with God. All right? So when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Now, when we understand hypocrites, we immediately talk about those people who say one thing and do another, right? But when Jesus was actually saying, don't be like the hypocrites, Jesus was actually giving us a theatrical description of what prayer or people who pray wrong look like. What I mean by that is, back in Jesus' time, the Greek culture, the word hypocrites was actually a synonym for an actor. Actors, when there was Greek theater back then, hypocrites were the actors. I don't know if you guys probably seen this. You ever seen like a play stage play, like in the past, where there will be somebody acting and he will have a stick and a mask in the back of his, he will be holding it in one hand, and he's acting like, uh-huh, I'm here now, and then he will put the mask on and you'll be another person on the role. So whenever you put the mask up, you are acting another role in the play. And that was what a hypocrite was. It was an actor who played two roles on stage. So you have one role, then you put the mask on. So what that implies, that's why when we say this person is being a hypocrite, it's like it's, they say, well, they're saying one thing and doing another. Or they're talking, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. It's what they were implying was this, with the hypocrites, that they used to put the mask on and be a different person when they talk. All right, so Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like a hypocrite, an actor, someone who wants to be seen by men, or someone who's playing two roles, or who is double-minded in their approach to God. If you're going to go to God, go to God. Don't look for anyone else to applaud you or celebrate you. Watch this. He says, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Now, we don't see anybody doing that today. Again, this is back in Jesus' time, where it wasn't rare to see religious people or religious leaders standing on the street corners and blurting out their most elaborate prayers so that they can impress people, because that was a very religiously charged community or culture back then. You get what I'm saying? Back then it was normal to find people praying on the streets. You don't see that today. Matter of fact, if somebody, you stand on the street corner praying, somebody will probably try to call the cops on you or something. Think you're crazy. Alright, so we don't really see that today. But there, these guys were actually standing out in the open praying. And then watch this, he says, why are they doing this? That they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So when I was looking at this, the Lord began to say something to me. He says, while people pray to be seen by men, remember the theatrical illustration. If this is a stage and I'm looking to be seen by men, and Jesus says, this is the reward you're going to get, that people will see you and will celebrate you for your wonderful, marvelous prayer. The Father then says through Jesus that the Father is waiting behind the scenes to be seen. And so what the Lord actually wants to cultivate in us is that instead of trying to be seen by men, the Lord says, I want to be seen by men behind the scenes. When no one is looking, when no one is watching. And he says, once you meet me in secret, go to the next verse. Once you meet me in secret, when you pray, go into your room. Go into your closet, some translation says. Go into your most innermost place, when no one else is around, shut your door, pray to your Father who is where? In the secret place. So if I want to find the Father, where should I look for him? In the secret place. God values hiddenness. God loves to spend a long time with his people. And I said before, God wants intimates. He wants people that he can be close to. And when you meet with him in prayer, the Bible says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So your Father who sees in secret. So every time, Daryl, I come into prayer, when I shut the door, when I find some alone time, when I know that I have time for myself, for you it may be your room, it may be for some people it may be your car door, for some people it may be in your office and work, when you have some time for yourself, wherever that is, when you can get some alone or private time, the Lord says, whenever you go in secret to the Father, he sees you in secret. He sees you in secret. So there's no time I come into prayer and I know that I'm not receiving anything from God. Because the minute I spend time in secret with the Father, I know he's rewarding me. I know he's setting me up for greater blessings. I know he sees me and he's getting ready to do something for me because I met with him in secret when nobody else was looking. And anytime you see someone walking with power or walking with an anointing or walking with great revelation of the word, you can immediately bet on it that person spent a long time with God. Because that is when the Father rewards you, when you spend time with him in secret. Amen?
Amen.
So he said, your Father who sees in secret will reward you how? Openly. Now, I wanted to show you guys some verses, but I'm not going to turn to it. But you can just write this down. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. This is Jesus. This is among these verses that some verses that actually describe Jesus' prayer time. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 16. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. So if Jesus had to slip away, that means there was a crowd around him. There was people around him that Jesus said, you know what? I can't get too busy that I can't pray. Jesus never got too busy that he couldn't spend time in prayer with God. And he set an example for us. He said, so in Luke 5 it says, Jesus will slip away to the wilderness and pray. Or how about Mark chapter 1, verse 35? Mark 1, verse 35. You can write that down. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So if it was too late, Jesus would wake up early in the morning. Before daylight, before the crowds, before everyone else woke up, Jesus will go and he'll pray. Or in Luke chapter 6, verse 12. It says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. So on another occasion, he had the night to himself. Bible says he went out in the night on a mountain and prayed all night long to God. And I've learned that the supernatural activity that manifested in Jesus' life and his ministry is directly connected to his prayer activity. Jesus was able to heal the sick. He was able to cast out devils. He was able to fulfill his mission from God because he spent time with God. And no matter what, time is the price you pay for an anointing. Time is the price you pay for the power of God to be seen on your behalf. He will reward you openly when you spend time with him in secret. Hello.
Yes.
You know what I heard growing up, Andre? And if you want an anointing, that you have to go through something in order for God to bless you. And I used to always say, well, you know, Lord, I don't feel like I went through too much. So, Lord, send some more troubles my way. Anybody ever heard that before?
Yeah.
In order for God to use you, you've got to go through something.
Right.
So one time I was in high school, one of my best friends, I told him, he said, you know what? I got this, you know, I'm bad, but I'm not that bad. Like, I wasn't into drugs. I didn't go out and I didn't prostitute. I didn't do none of this stuff. So I was like, I didn't do none of that stuff. So I said, God, I don't got the big horror story testimony in order for you to use me. So I told my friend, I said, you know, I'm going to start praying that God will send stuff so I can get an anointing. She looked at me like, what are you, crazy? But I was like, anybody that I know who's really anointed went through a lot of stuff. And, you know, she told me, she said, listen, some people's testimony is that God brought them through stuff. But she said, some other people's testimony is that God kept them
right.
Stuff. And I stopped praying that prayer. I said, you know, you're absolutely right. And then when I read the word for myself, I said, it wasn't the fact that you got to go through a lot to get anointed. Jesus didn't go through anything until he went to the cross. And he was anointed. What happened was, Jesus spent time with God. And God rewarded him because he met him in his secret place. That's why Jesus came back and told his disciples, when you pray, pray like this. Go to meet your Father in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. So whatever you ask for in the secret place, God will get ready to reward you with it openly if you spend time with him. If you spend time with him. And this is an invitation for us all. I love intercession. And I love to pray on behalf of people, but I can't go to God in secret for you. God wants to build a personal history with you. He wants to build a personal history with you. He wants to build a personal history with every one of us personally. Right? So while I can pray, and I pray that God, I pray for everyone that God will meet you in your time of prayer, but you have to meet him there so that he can do the rewarding. Amen? So here's what I want to leave with you today. So I said, Father, what is it about prayer? What is it that you're going to do for us? And the Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, you see, the reason why I call the time you spend with me the secret place is because I want to reward you with secrets. You see, the place is called the secret place because God wants to reveal secrets to you. You know, when you want to share secrets with someone, Sharon, you don't get on the mic and you say secrets, do you? If someone has a secret to share with you, they find a time when you're by yourself or quiet when no one else is around, and then they begin to speak to you, don't they? And they share with you what's on their heart, what no one else knows. Hallelujah. So, the Father has secrets for his sons and his daughters that he only wants to reveal to us. And when you spend time in the secret place, you get access to those secrets. There's some situations you're going through in your life right now that God has the answer for. But when you meet him in secret, he's going to show you the secret how to get out of what you're in right now. There's ailments that might be bothering you in your body that God has the secret to, the answer to, the cure to, the healing for. And when you enter into his presence in secret, he will reward you with those secrets. Jesus had the secret to cast out devils. He had the secret to walk on water. He had the secret to speak to storms and they obeyed him. He had the secret to multiplying food. He had the secret for breakthroughs. Come on. He had the secret for healing. And those same secrets the Father wants to reveal to us if we spend time with him in secret. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Come on. God wants to reward you, but you got to pay the price for it. Look at this. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 29, real fast. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. Our God is a God who reveals secrets. Somebody say secrets.
Secrets.
Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord, our God. But those things that are revealed belong to us and our children. Read it again. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord. So the Lord, how do you know God knows things that no one else knows?
Yes.
He's all-knowing, all right? He created the universe. He created time. He created us. He sees all things, hears all things. So if it's one thing that I want to do, I want to spend time with God to know what he knows. You know, if you can imagine if you knew President Obama, and you were really close friends with him, you know you would know things about the Obama household that no one else would know. You know things that's happening in the White House that no one else knows. You may even know some things about Korea, what's going on over there that no one else knows, that CNN won't show. You will know things that no one else knows. Why? Because you know the president. Now, if we know the Lord our God, the creator of the universe, and you spend time with him, you will begin to know things about America, about the universe, about your family, about your job, about your boss, about your career paths. You will begin to know things that no one else knows. So the Bible says the secret things. Is up there? The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. Which means that God wants to reveal to us the secrets that he knows. As a child of light, as a child of God, there should be no situation you're going through that you don't have a clue what's happening. It may start off that way, But the Bible says the path of the just goes brighter and brighter as the shining of the full day. When you spend time with God, you begin to receive direction. You begin to receive clarity. You begin to receive focus. The Lord begins to show you where to go, what street to turn, what job to apply for, what career path to choose. God will begin to navigate your steps as you begin to spend time with Him. The secrets that He knows about you that no one else knows, the secrets about your future that you don't even know about yourself, God already knows. And the Bible says He has plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future, an expected end. Come on. So when you come to Him in prayer, the one main thing He wants to do is reveal these secrets to you. And He says, I will reveal it to you. Those secrets that I reveal belong to you and to your children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Amen? You can't obey God until you know His secrets. You can't obey His will unless you know what it is He wants you to do. And so you've got to spend time with Him in order to receive that. How about in Daniel chapter 2? You don't got to turn to it. Daniel 2, verse 29 through 30. The Bible talks about a man named Daniel who was serving an evil king named Nebuchadnezzar. And the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar had this dream that he couldn't interpret, that no one else had the answer to, and no one can understand his dream. And so Nebuchadnezzar had a bunch of, as a king, he had a bunch of witches and warlocks, and he had a bunch of astrologers and soothsayers and magicians as his counsel. These people will come to him and give him direction because they were supposed to know secrets to how he should run his government. And so Daniel was also a part of his inner counsel. And so the Bible says that when no one could answer or interpret the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, that King Nebuchadnezzar was getting ready to destroy. He said, I'm going to kill all of my advisors and council because you guys are no good to me anymore. But Daniel said, King, give us time. Give me time that I may go back and that I may pray to the Lord. For my God is a revealer of secrets. That's what he said. So, look at Daniel 2, verse 28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. And then the Bible goes on. If you read it, Daniel not only got the interpretation of the dream, God even revealed to Nebuchadnezzar the exact dream he had. So, imagine you had a dream, Eli. And then you come to church today, and I'll tell you the exact dream you had last night. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Then God revealed to Daniel the dream King Nebuchadnezzar had and the interpretation of the dream. And not only was he revealed the secret of the dream, but he also revealed to King Nebuchadnezzar an image or a prophecy of the last days. So God not only reveals secrets to dreams, He reveals secrets of the end times. And what I love is the fact that He gave this dream to an evil king. So there's people right now around you in your life that maybe around you are going through stuff and they don't know what to do. But the Lord wants to use you as a revealer of secrets. Through you, the Lord wants to reveal secrets to you that you can now reveal these things to those around you. Hallelujah. I want to press into that. Anybody else? I want to know what only the Lord knows. Amen? And the Bible said that as a result of Daniel revealing his dream to Nebuchadnezzar, that King Nebuchadnezzar was so excited, and he allowed all the guys to live, so they were happy for that. And he began to tell everybody to worship the same God that Daniel worshipped. Last thing I want to show you, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Somebody say, Lord, reveal your secrets to me.
Lord, reveal your secrets to me.
Hallelujah. Our God is a revealer of secrets. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Want to know why this is so important? This is why. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. But as it is written, eyes has not seen, ears have not heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Wait a minute, go back. No one has seen it. No one has heard it. No one has even dreamed about the things that God has in store for you. So, in the secret place, there are things that are in secret right now that no one has heard, no one has seen, you don't even know yet, that God is saying, when you come to me in secret, I'm going to begin to reveal those secret things to you. Hello. It's reserved for you, meaning no one else has ever seen this thing. There are things right now over your life that are just simply a breakthrough, or is simply a revelation away from you.
Jesus.
You're one revelation away from your next breakthrough.
Thank you, Father.
That job you think is so far away, you're just one revelation away from it. Mm-hmm. Come on. You believe that?
Yeah.
Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. So who sees it? Who knows it? Only God. Come on. Then he says in verse 10, but God has revealed them to us how?
Through
his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit reveals the deep things to us, the things that no one else knows, the things that you haven't even comprehended yet. The Holy Spirit will begin to instruct you and will begin to reveal things to you so that you can actually receive those promises that God has over your life. He's established these things for us on the foundation of the world. If he has plans to prosper us, he has plans to give us peace, he has plans to give us an expected end, then some of you need to find time in secret with the Lord so that he can begin to order your steps, so that you can begin to submit your mind to him. Some of you are trying to trust in your own understanding. And the Lord says, no, do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Stop trying to depend on your own intellect and your own reasoning. Stop trying to depend on your logic. You see, some things don't make sense. You know, this job, I don't have the credentials for it. Oh, these people ain't called me back yet. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Stop worrying. And the Lord says, find time in my presence and worship me. When you worship and seek me, I will reward you openly. I will reward you openly. See, it's not too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. But what he wants from us is that we will be a people who will be friends, who will spend time with him long enough to hear from him. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants. I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Because servants don't know what their master is doing. You see that? You're not friends with God, which means that you spend time with your friends, you call your friends, you hang out with your friends, you make time to spend with your friends, and as you do that with God, he says, you will begin to know the things that I have in store for you. And I really believe with all my heart that we're coming into a day, you know, I love prophetic ministry. I love when coming to the house of the Lord and being able to give you a rhema word, an exact word that God wants to give you. But I also feel like God doesn't just want us to depend on that. God doesn't just want you to depend on a prophet to guide you every step of the way. God wants you to go into him directly, to the source, and be able to hear his voice for yourself. There's only a few occasions that I've ever been prophesied to a degree where it gave me direction for my life. Most of the times, the Lord has answered me through dreams, through vision, and just through a still small voice. I'm walking down the street, the Lord says, that's the next thing I want you to do. No big prophecy, no big open heavens and the clouds are open. But the peace that passes all understanding begins to guard my heart and my mind. Can we turn to that last verse, Philippians chapter 4. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Watch this. I mean, be anxious for nothing.
That's right.
Be anxious for some things,
nothing.
For the little things or the big things.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Do not be anxious, worried, stressed out, going to bouts of anxiety. Worry. Don't worry for anything. But what are you supposed to do?
Everything.
In some things?
Everything.
In everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So the actual remedy to anxiety, according to the Word of God, is spending time in prayer with God. To sit down and worry and be anxious about stuff does not help you one bit. And it makes things worse, as a matter of fact. But the minute you begin to feel anxious about something, just drop down on your knees. Just begin to pray. Just close the door. And say, Lord, I don't know what it is right now. I don't know what's happening. But Father, I'm just going to pray because I don't want to go into anxiety. I'm just going to pray. And as I pray, I'm going to let my request be known to you. And I'm going to thank you. He said, attach thanksgiving to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to thank you right now that as I give this concern to you, you already are making a way for me. My wife can tell you, I don't get stressed out for anything. And I fight to make sure I never do. May not feel worried. It doesn't matter what it is. It may not begin to feel like, oh, this is getting out of hand. Lord, take it. I told her, we were driving down the other day. I said, baby, one thing you never have to worry about is me dying from a heart attack. I'll never die from that. I'm never going to get stressed. My God is too good. He's too big. He's too great. And I trust him. With all of my heart, and I'm going to keep trusting with all of my heart. That's the prayer that I want us all to carry. So he says, don't be anxious, and everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And watch this, verse 7. And the peace of God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
How do you need more peace in your hearts? Come on. You better claim it. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So I've realized, Eli, we put too much emphasis on what we can understand. We rely on our understanding too much. If God is, his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, then that means the things that God wants to do for us are bigger than beyond what we can understand.
Yes.
All right? So don't lean on your understanding anymore. Go to him in prayer. Let your request be known to him. And then God's peace will begin to flow into your life to such a degree that it will guard your heart and mind. It's like a security guard. God's peace will literally be a security guard on your behalf. When some that's supposed to come in, the enemy sends tries to come in, the peace of God won't let it. When fear and anxiety and stress try to come in, the peace of God is going to stand guard and won't let it come in. And that is what we depend on, people of God. We guard our hearts and our minds with the peace that only God gives us. And how do we get that peace? Verse 6. Right there. In prayer and supplication, letting everything be known to him. Amen? So I don't know what it is that you're going through. I don't know what situations are plaguing you right now. I don't know what it is that you're concerned about, but I want you to stop worrying.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to stop praying. Amen. Stop worrying. Stop praying. Look at somebody next to you. Say that. Say, stop worrying.
Stop worrying.
Stop praying. Start praying. Amen.
Yeah.
Come on. So what are the rewards of prayer?
You can understand. We might have to, she's ready to get dedicated. That's why. She's like, enough.
All right. So what are the rewards of prayer? Number one.
Secrets.
You know the secrets of the Lord. Amen. Secrets, insights, revelation, things that no one else knows. God will reveal that to you. Amen. First reward of prayer. Number two, what else? Peace. You get peace. The peace of God comes in. What else you get? Number three, His presence. When you pray, He said, I will reward you openly. You know when God's presence is on your life, when the Lord is with you, you get favor all around you. See, we just talk about favor. I can't wait to teach on favor. The favor of the Lord rests on you when the presence of the Lord rests on you. When God's presence is shown in your life, you get favor with God and with man, the Bible says. God shows up on your behalf, opens doors that no one else gets opportunities for. God will open those doors up for you because His favor is on your life, because His presence is on your life. God's presence is your favor. What else you get? Answered prayers. You get answers to your prayers in the secret place. And the fifth reward of prayer, you receive visions, dreams, and prophecy. Or revelation. All in one word, revelation. You receive revelation from God. Visions and dreams and prophecy. And I don't know, like I said, do you know that the Lord, over 140 times in the Bible, God appeared to people in dreams. Spoke to them. And the Lord appeared to Abraham in a dream and said, and the angel of the Lord came to Jacob in a dream. 140 times God appeared to people in dreams. 110 times the Bible reveals that He reveals to men in visions. And He says in Joel chapter 2, in the last days I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will begin to prophesy. The old men will have dreams, the young men will have visions. So God is going to reveal to us in these last days secrets to things that no one else knows. It's going to come through dreams. It's going to come through visions. It's going to come through prophecy. And I'm hungry for God. I want us to press in for that. The supernatural wisdom of God. The things that no one else knows. God is going to reveal things to you that you won't reveal to anybody else in your family. And you're going to have a secret to getting your auntie set free, to getting your brother set free, your sister set free. Come on. To see the deliverance in your mother. Anything that you need, God will begin to show you the secret to the answers to your prayers. Amen. Let's all stand. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And I don't know where you are in your walk with God right now. I don't know what you're battling or what your concern is. But I want us to just lift up our hands. And we're going to make a decision to be anxious for nothing. To let it all go before Him. First Peter says that you should cast your cares on Him. For He cares for you. So whatever it is that you care about, whatever it is that you're concerned about, see what He tells you. He said, cast your cares on Me, for I care for you. And when you begin to cast those cares to Me, I will begin to give you My peace. Come on, can we lift up our voice and let's begin to speak to the Lord? And let's begin to pray into this. Say, Lord, I want to receive secrets in a secret place. Lord, I need direction. Lord, we need direction. We need to know where to go next, Father. We've been trying to do it on our own. We've been trying to figure these things out with our own understanding. But according to Your word, if we give it to You, if we let our request be known to You, You will receive. see. And you see that peace is given so that you can focus. Some of you, your soul is too anxious. Some of you, you're too anxious. The Lord says, not be anxious. Learn to rest in me. I got you. Just seek my face. Just seek my face. Let's begin to turn your heart to one thing. And I will begin to meet you where you are. Hallelujah. And I hear the Lord say, I already got things under control. I already got these situations under control. But when you let me get involved, when you begin to make your request known to me, then I'll begin to step in. Hallelujah. And I want to remind you, when you leave something with God, don't go back and pick it up from him by worrying again. Alright? Anytime you worry, you're putting things back into your head. When you leave it in there, just begin to thank him. Can we give God a grateful praise right now?